Again, we want to examine the doctrine of assurance from the standpoint of the tests of eternal life. Now, the Apostle gives these tests that we may apply them to ourselves, so that we may know, according to 1 John 5, verse 13, that we have eternal life. Wherein he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." And we have set our camera on chapter 4, the test of love. And the Apostle declared in chapter 4 three great truths. God has loved us. Second, that we love him because he first loved us. And then third, we love the brethren and we keep his commandments. And if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now this morning, in chapter 5, we examine the test, how the new birth works. From verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And he that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." So we find here the test of the new birth. Knowing that we've been born of God is the fact of an indispensable relationship and a victorious faith. A friend of mine is an avid basketball fan of the Carolina Tar Heels. Many times, this friend, he doesn't watch the game, but he puts on tape in the tape player. Thank you, Roy. You're a good diaconess. So it is with us as we face the world. I thought Roy was coming to preach. but he only fixed the mic. Well, as we face the world, we have a triumphant faith, beloved, for we have already won. Our Savior is already in the glory for us. When Israel was delivered out of the land of Egypt, Moses and Israel sang in chapter 15 of Exodus, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath cast into the sea." The land of Canaan was ahead of them to be conquered. But because of what God had done in delivering them from Egypt, they could sing unto the Lord. The song of redemption. And you and I, we know that the game is over. The war is over. The victory is won. It was won there at the cross of Calvary and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of our victory is in another. It is not through our efforts. It is through his finished work. Our part is simply to believe it. Therefore we read, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And therefore, on the basis of 1 John 5, verse 5, this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now the triumphant Christian is occupied with the Lord Jesus. He's not occupied with himself. He's occupied with the person of Christ. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ and his finished work. The warrant of our faith is the Word of God, the Bible. For in it, we have the revelation of his Son. Notice verse 5 of chapter 5. "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." We trust in him, and he assures us victory. This morning we looked at two things. We looked at an indispensable relationship. And second, we looked at a victorious faith. Tonight we want to carry it one more step forward. We want to look at an exonerating witness. So we begin our reading tonight at verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. These three verses have been controversial many times among Bible students, especially among textual critics. But beloved, they present to us a witness that cannot be denied when we examine the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we examine this witness that you give tonight concerning your beloved Son, we do pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Deliver us from anything that would in any way detract from the Spirit of God ministering to souls. For we pray in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you examine the events of Calvary, it is the Apostle John who writes, and it's only in the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, verses 34 and 35, wherein we have the record of the soldier who pierced the side of our Lord, and forthwith there came forth blood and water. And you'll notice that is what this is about. In verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In other words, he who had seen this has testified, and we may know that he's telling the truth and believe it, because the Spirit of God bears witness to it. That's what John is saying in verse 6. Only John gives this account, and the water speaks of cleansing. The blood speaks to us of expiation. And we sing in Top Lady's great hymn, "Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be for sin the double cure, saved from wrath and make me pure." You see, the guilty sinner is in dire need of two great works. The two things the guilty sinner needs. Number one, he needs moral cleansing, for he's a moral leper in the presence of a holy God. And number two, he needs release from guilt. And it is through the death of Christ, both propitiation and purification were accomplished. And both of these are ours through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit on earth is here on earth as witness to that grand fact. Now this is beautifully illustrated in the history of Israel. Beautifully illustrated. The tabernacle erected in the wilderness, it speaks of three great things. It speaks first of all of redemption. Second, it speaks of deliverance. And third, it speaks of nearness to God. If you and I can get these three things in our minds, it's a beautiful picture of what we experience through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Lord performed three mighty works in relation to Israel when he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. First of all, he redeemed them in the land of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb and by the blood alone. It's a couple of years ago, I preached a sermon one Sunday on the subject of the Passover. When when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I quote a poem that I learned, I don't know when. I had seen it written somewhere, and I liked it. I read it, and I've never forgotten. And it speaks of Israel coming and what God did in Egypt. It simply said, night and darkness, more than darkness, gloom and chill and damp of death, sorrow stalking through the shadows, fear and dread that stifled breath. Such the night in Hebrew households. Hasty plans were made for flight. Hastily the lamb was eaten. Long how long that death-like night. Would the holy God of heaven, as he passed by, look within? Through the windows watch their conduct. Pierce each soul and see its sin. Will the lamb's blood be sufficient? Just the blood upon the door? Will he, passing o'er the guilty, see the blood and nothing more? Yes, the midnight hour was over. Not a mourning voice was heard. For the firstborn of the Hebrews, God was faithful to his word. Such my night, and such my Savior. His sufficiency alone saves my soul from death and darkness. Just his grace my soul must own. Not my guilt and not my goodness does the passing angel see. Just the blood upon the doorway. Just the blood of Calvary. There was redemption by the blood and by the blood alone. And by the blood of the Lamb, they were safe when the judgment came. But second, God delivered his people out of the house of bondage. He separated his people by the Red Sea, by the pillar of fire, by the pillar of cloud. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2 says they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, they were separated from their enemies by water. God forever put the Red Sea between his redeemed people and the world, Egypt. And he has today. He has today. Now, this separation, this deliverance, not only from Pharaoh's hand, but from Pharaoh's land. Pharaoh is a picture of the God of this world. He was a ruler of Egypt. He's a picture of that. But God not only delivered his people from his hand, and he's delivered us from the hand of the enemy, but he's also delivered us from the land of the enemy, as he did Israel. And baptism is a beautiful symbol, beloved, of the work of Christ. It speaks of death and resurrection. But then third, not only was there deliverance, and not only was there redemption, they were brought near to God. For he came down, and he dwelt among them. He dwelt in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, which rested upon the mercy seat, upon the tabernacle there in the wilderness. God's presence rested there. And beloved, today, the Holy Spirit of God, who bears witness to the work of Christ, rests upon his people. He came to indwell his church on the day of Pentecost, and individual believers for our bodies, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in the church corporately and also in his people individually. Now notice our text. These three, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, are portrayed for us in the very arrangement of the tabernacle of the congregation. When someone came to the door of the entrance into the courtyard of the tabernacle, the first thing that caught their eye was a brazen altar. And in the brazen altar were the fires that consumed the sacrifice. But above the brazen altar and on it were the blood of that sacrifice. And when I look at that which the sacrifice spoke of, I look at Calvary, and there the sacrifice endured the divine judgment of God. He put out the fire for his people. For us, there is no more fire. He endured it all. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to that, beloved. He endured the fires. He put it out for us. And you and I can say tonight, there is therefore none, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The fire has been extinguished, beloved. And we can sing with Wesley, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus, my all, in thee I find, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown to Christ my own. But beloved, we're still in the courtyard. And that's where we all begin, at the cross, where I first saw the light. But between the holy place where the priest worshipped and where he was near to God and the brazen altar, there was another piece of furniture. It was a laver, a brazen laver. It was called in the temple the brazen sea. And in that was water. And it's there that the priest washed his hands and his feet before he went in to be near to God at the golden altar, at the altar of incense. And why did he wash his hands and his feet? He washed them because this world and communion with it gives us dirty hands and dirty feet. And the water there speaks to us of that which is, the apostle tells us of in Ephesians chapter 5, the washing of the water by the word. Only then could the priest approach the holy place and enjoy communion with God and fellowship with God. Beloved, the Holy Spirit bears witness to this. Christ died for our sins. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he ascended into heaven. And there, after ascending to heaven, he sent the choice coin of the kingdom down to live with us, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit does what is written in the 16th chapter of John. The Lord Jesus said, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. We have, beloved, an exonerating witness, just as Israel could sing, after they were delivered out of Egypt, the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he cast into the sea. And what was ahead of them? The wilderness journey. You see, we know what the score is before we see the game. Our Lord has triumphed gloriously. This is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Thank God there are three in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one. That's what our text says. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The water and the blood. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flows, be for sin the double cure, saved from wrath Israel. What a witness. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The sons of God. And we can sing the song of redemption because we know the victory is ours. When we sing that hymn based on Romans chapter 8 at the Lord's Supper, number 39 in the Black Book, that last stanza, the victory is ours. In might came forth the mighty one. He fought the fight. He, the triumph won. The victory is ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we have a witness of victory. And there's a joy. We don't need to get all excited worrying about whether we're going to win or not. For the victory is ours. We thank you that it's ours to believe, ours to enjoy, and ours to magnify in our witness for thee. Take this word tonight and bless it to every heart. And bless us as we're together tonight to review the year and to look forward to another. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.